So, my name is Kerry, and I'm a data junkie. Okay. Yes, I thought no one was going to get that. That's kind of cool. So anyways, this is kind of a follow-on to the talk in Berlin and some of the stuff that we've been doing. I'm going to cover hopefully new stuff, but I wanted to start out with, that's our diagram. That's the overall data diagram of the data collect. It's changed a little bit. We've had some, you know, kind of a change in our syslog and coming in. But pretty much it stayed the same. You know, RabbitMQ is still the central processing. Elastic is still the database of archive. So a new thing, OpenDCIM, and I'll talk about that. So anyways, let's get started. So when in Berlin, I've been doing a data collect, and one of the things that I realized, I was advocating about trying to get together and creating a monitoring BOF, and HepX was nice enough to create a Twiki page and everything and stuff, and I was trying to figure out how to go for it, and I'm supposed to organize it and stuff. It dawned on me that I'm a data junkie. You know, that's what the thing is here, is data collection and monitoring are two different things. You know, monitoring is using the data. I've been focused on collecting the data. And putting the data to use has been kind of a hard thing to do, and it is actually a very hard thing to do, and more we start looking into it. So that's why I kind of put this up here, is that we're starting to move into the monitoring phase, but very slowly, because we still have a lot more data to collect. So with being said, the Twiki page and stuff, there is a HepX Twiki page out there. It is the monitoring SIG. It's live. It's basically everything that I talked about in Berlin and some of the stuff I've talked about here. There is an email list. I will send out the first email, sometime in the next 3 weeks because I got another conference. But the point of it is that I've been putting everything that I've learned in monitoring and data collection up on here. I think other people could edit this too, because it is a CERN Twiki, and anyone with a CERN account should be able to edit this. I would like other people to start adding stuff to this, because it's kind of the collection of what we've seen that works and not work. I don't want to be the gatekeeper for this information, because I know that I can't be. Because if you send me stuff, it will probably take a while for me to get it up there. So I know there are some people who are more active than others and stuff, but I think I would like to try to make sure that this progresses. So some of the things that's happened over the last year, we tried over the last summer to get some summer students in to create dashboards. It sounded like a great idea, cheap labor. Found out that it was very difficult for the kids to create dashboards because they didn't understand what the data meant. Even though they had some information about knowing about the system and stuff, they still couldn't create effective dashboards. He who collects the data knows the data. I'm getting this one much more lately. I've been talking to some of the file system guys, and I said, okay, I want to start collecting the file system data off of Lustre and GPFS. And they come to me and said, okay, so you're going to create the dashboards and the monitoring for that too. Goes back to number one. I don't necessarily know the data. I know some of the data, right? But I require the stakeholders to actually partner with me in order to do that. And most of them are sitting here going, I don't have time. But they definitely want the monitoring. So we got to kind of work around that one. And from last year too, you know, I had a bunch of pretty pictures up there say that going dashboards and stuff are easy. They're not quite as easy to build You just can't throw them together. You need to have some sort of idea what you want to do with them. Oh, the next one there. Hey, you're collecting all this data. Can I get a copy of it? I want to create a CSV file of it or put it in some other format. Now, it sounds funny, and you know, and they may only want a section of the data and stuff, right? But it's causing us to figure out, is are we actually collecting the data in the format that our users actually need it? And is there a way that we could actually collect a portion of the data and give it to the users and stuff that they can actually use it, but still keep it in the archive? Because we don't want to lose the data, right? And we want to be able to allow that data to be used by other consumers. So we have to address that one. We also had a problem with RabbitMQ. This is one of the weird things that happened is that we had RabbitMQ dying on us quite often. And it was like, what's going on? Actually found out that if you turn on the monitoring, the management plugin on RabbitMQ, right, that was causing RabbitMQ to die. So we turned the management program off and it works 10 times better. We're seeing even better throughput. Instead of having a cluster of three RabbitMQ, one will do it. Turning on the management interface to say, hey, what are you doing? And it's like driving it up the wall. I think they're trying to work on that one. New things, what I was working on is Setsi. Setsi is Cray's environmental power and environmental data. We are a supercomputing center, and we do deal with Cray's. This is essentially the plug-in environment for the Cray system. This is all the cabinet data, the power data, fans, CPU temperatures, and stuff like that. It has a telemetry stream that comes out of the Cray's and stuff, and they just created a plug-in environment. And I wrote some plugins in order to stream it out into RabbitMQ. I'll show you more on that in just a few minutes. Because we are running Elastic, created a Docker environment for it. That's up there on the Twiki too. Step by step on how to load Docker up on your laptop, pull in an Elastic index, and run Elasticsearch and Kibana and Grafana on your laptop, and you can play with it on the plane. You just have to get an Elastic index. So then we also just went through upgrading to Elastic 5. Much nicer than Elastic 2, but there were a few things. Cough was one of our things we used to see our indexes. It did not support Elastic 5 because some of the stuff had changed. So we actually ended up having to wait to Cerebro, which was a Cough rewrite, in order to get some of the functionality back from that. But it is much better, and Logstash now has the ability to use centralized configurations, meaning that you could put a configuration into Elasticsearch, and then multiple Logstashes can get the same configuration. The other thing that we like about Elastic 5 now too is we got a client pool. Instead of having like Kibana having its own client and stuff, now we can have a Kibana interface, you know, and it connects to the client pool. So when somebody does that huge search that runs Kibana out of memory, right, it goes down, right? They reconnect and they get a different client, and then we can reboot that VM and then bring that client back. Whereas before, if they ran Kibana out of memory, right, then whoever went to that same URL and stuff always got it until we could actually reboot it. So we've mitigated a denial of service attack, but now somebody who's sitting there going, oh, I brought it down, or I got the big red box, Kibana died, right? Well, let's try my search again, and now they can do denial of service attack on us. Well, I'd approach one thing at a time. Our syslog, that's been my latest project, and I'm actually interested in your talk, Fabian, about syslog NG and how the two compare, but I'll probably talk to you after your talk, because no matter how people talk about syslog being easy, it's like, this isn't easy. But one of the things that we're doing with our syslog, right, is we're using our syslog to convert it into JSON on the source so that it goes into Elastic as a JSON instead of having Logstash do the filtering of it. So actually we're getting better, we should be getting better throughput into Elastic and stuff and not have to worry about filters and things to try to decode that string as it's coming across. And the last one is our summer projects and stuff, basic last alerts, net data. And eventually GPFS and Lustre. You saw some of the stuff at the HEPICS and the, at Berkeley about GPFS having sensors and stuff. It's on my plate to actually get those going into Elastic. Synexion, the Seagate Lustre product, actually has LMT, and Cray has a product that goes on top of that that collects the data from Lustre, and they're very close at getting a stream on that. So, okay. First thing is net data. This is cool. If you haven't seen net data, go out and take a look at it, right? It's changed quite a bit, right? It's like collect D. Well, I won't say it. It does everything Collect D does, but it's like, ooh. All plugins are enabled when you first start it. Okay, so to run it, you just run it, and you point a browser at it. I was just going, you don't understand. It doesn't do it justice here because all the dials move as it collects it. It has, you know, basically over here. It has all your plugins and stuff, and it does CPU, you know, your disks, your network, everything. And it collects it for 1 hour, and it throws it away. It's great for viewing the data now. We actually have plugins in order to put this back into Elastic. You can actually link multiple of these together, right? And it only takes about a meg of memory. Problem is, it doesn't scale. You get about 40 of them together and stuff like that, and you're actually bringing down the machine that's actually you're trying to view it off of. So you have to be careful. But the thing is what I like about it is this. It does monitoring. It has the ability to put in monitoring. You can see them, all of them here, based on the different plugins that is there. It even has its built-in log file. So you can go here and actually take a look. This is first step monitoring. Yeah, I mean, this is doing monitoring before it even gets to the data collect. And that's where we're starting to move with our monitoring and stuff. Hey, you know, let's do it before it even gets to the data collect, or let's do it, you know, at the different sources. You know, why have a centralized, like, Nagios box, right? This could actually send email messages, right? I mean, I just got this up and running a couple weeks ago, so I haven't had time to actually tie this in with other things, but like that's why this is on our my to-do list. Information. This is OpenDCIM. This talk is going to be a little bit disjointed because there's so many things I got to trying to cover here. OpenDCIM, it's you know, talking about our machine room floor, right? Knowing what's out there on your floor and stuff. OpenDCIM is done by Oak Ridge. Actually, it was done by a guy who now works at Oak Ridge, and he just brought his personal project over to it, right? This is Corey. This is Edison. This is our common section, right? The green here means that there's room in the rack to actually put more equipment, right? So, our seismic floor and stuff. What we're using this for is that, you know, when we have a problem or something like that, you know where to go and look in the data center. Also, we're going to be tying this into Nagios and stuff so that who's the owner, you know? This is also some data from the data collect and stuff. How much watts is it running? So we can actually go out here and see ownership, network path. You can drill down in here. You can certify the data is correct in here, right? So what we're going to do here now is we're going to start using this instead of going, okay, You put something in a rack, right? You have to certify it before we start monitoring it. This way we know what's out there. And when somebody starts to mess around with it and something doesn't match up, well, you certified it, right? It was audited. So now we go back to you and say, why did it change? Instead of trying to guess. But I wanted to go back here and stuff because now I'm jumping into a couple of another area and stuff. So our center is actually going through another, getting ready for N9. Edison will be going away and our next computer will be here, taking up that whole space. That's our current computer. That's Corey. I wanted to bring this up because now I go into the site report. PDSF and JGI, PDSF is the high energy physics stuff, right, is going to be running on this machine. It's going to be running in the Haswell stuff. It can also run in the K&L side. But it will be running here. And that is one of the reasons why we designed Shifter. Another topic that came up. Now I got to have to take a tangent here, right? I don't know Shifter, but I tried to talk to the developers of Shifter, right? I'm going to try to give an explanation here. I'm probably going to muddy the waters much more than they already are. But Shifter and Singularity are different. Shifter came along first, and it was designed to run on something like this. To understand what Shifter had to deal with is that everything here, right, exists, it's not a Linux box. At the time Shifter was being developed, this stuff was basically a glorified busy box, not a cut down Linux box. So in essence, Shifter was to try to get enough of an environment into something like that to run HCP. So when I was looking at the Singularity page, when they were talking about it and it had the process tree in Singularity, he had Docker at the top up there, and then some of the Condor processes, and then Singularity and the Condor process, Singularity and the Condor process and stuff. Shifter would fit at that Docker layer. Shifter is trying to do complete Docker. The reason why we had to do Shifter is because Shifter doesn't have security-related stuff that we need it in order to run on this. So Shifter basically does is it takes a Docker image, it allows the site to modify some information in there, right, so that it can be running. So it's more heavy duty. Okay. Now that I got that done. I told you we were moving to N9. So this is some of the stuff that's coming out of our data collect now, right? This is Grizzly Peak. That's the lab substation. And these are the building, this is the substations within the building, the redundant substation. And these two panels right here run Cori. This was during an HPL run. This is basically the Knights Landing and the Haswell running at basically trying to be full speed. Our floor was pulling in 7.45 megawatts. Edison is right here. The common areas here, that's our disk storage, and then this is the rest of the offices. I show you this because this is what we're using now to plan for N9. N9 will take this panel and add three more because the system is going to be another 12 megawatts. So our building is 12 megawatts, going to go to 24. That's half of the team doing the monitoring is now involved heavily in trying to get this, and we're trying to get the monitoring of what we currently exist, trying to get enough information in order to start planning for what's coming next. I also wanted to show this because I know that there's been a couple of times that we talk about large clusters and megawatt swings and stuff. This is what? Five megawatts. Cori normally runs about four, 3.5, and idle it's about one. So when this job ends, it drops to Two. Dashboards. Dashboard that I created. Pretty dang cool, isn't it? Lot of pictures. Means nothing for monitoring. That's actually Cori. That's actually all the processors in Cori. Whoops. All 11,000 nodes. 750,000 cores. I show this because this is also laid out in row format. This is my Haswell. These are KNLs. Air flows from here to here. I start getting other information out of my dashboard and stuff. So this is, I was trying to figure out ways in order to show my dashboard and stuff to, in order to get other information outside of just the numbers. But it doesn't really give me much. I mean, you have to be looking at it. So we had an issue. Dashboards are good at dealing with issues. We had a throttling of one of the KNLs. So what I did is, this is all the SETSI data. So here I have is the temperatures of the KNLs. I have airflow, outside temperature. Outside temperature wasn't being recorded that day. I have blower and air temperatures. This is the water cooling, you know, fan air velocity, node power, memory, HSS, the overall node power between all the different, all the processors and the interconnect. I did this, right, so that the sysadmin who was looking at the problem, all they need to do is put in the location of the node that they're looking for, and they actually have all the information that I have in the data collect on one page. They're looking for this. I even have the power from the substations down here, so if we had an issue and stuff. As I get syslog, this page will grow to add in syslog information of what happened. The point of it is when somebody's debugging, when the sysadmin's debugging of what did happen, they want to have kind of a one-stop place. But from a monitoring standpoint, it's still not good enough because, you know, frankly, that's after the event happened. Grafana, most of you have used Grafana. Do you realize it actually could do monitoring too? It's just another tab. But if you use Elasticsearch, it doesn't, because it doesn't that data source, it doesn't know how to use that data source. Real soon now, it was supposed to be in the last release, but I think it's in the next release. Now, what I can do now is that I got my dashboards already. I can use this to monitor my 11,000 nodes with a couple of clicks. Now, I could do my monitoring for the operations. I now have my debugging for my system administrator, and I have my fancy dashboard for my management so that they have stuff to put up when they give talks. All in one thing. Cool. And then that goes back to Elastic on Docker. It really is this simple. I put the URLs up there. You install Docker on your system. I give you a YAML file of what configures it in. It pulls in all the appropriate information for Elastic, Kibana, and Grafana. And you get the index. And then I show you how to do the configurations and stuff, and then you can go off and start doing it. One of the big things why I did this, right, is because a lot of people said, well, how do I get started, right? And, you know, what can I do in order to, you know, start playing in this? Because I don't know, you know, about Elastic or any of the other things and stuff. And I tried to put this together. What I may do is I may actually put the index for the for our weather, which is a very small index, out there too, so that people actually do have an index to start playing with it, so that they could actually have something to deal with. And another question is people always ask, well, how big is your, 5 gives you some information now on the Elastic, so this is our Elastic, our cluster so far. It's 34 nodes. We have 34 data nodes, we have 3 master nodes, and we have a pool, I believe, of 5 client nodes. 2,200 indexes, 93 billion items. Not quite as big as CERN, but you know. And that's what we collect in a day. We collect environmentals from Modbus, or Collect D, or SetC, syslog weather. One wires our temperature sensors throughout the room. And these two are substation and a high-resolution power monitoring. You notice there's no file systems in there yet and stuff because I haven't got to it. Collect D may or may not, we may or may not continue to use it. I've had one issue with it. We're collecting stuff for the burst buffers and I'm seeing data loss. And I'm using the network plugin, which is supposed to be TCP. And I haven't, it's not. That's what I'm wondering. And then Fabian's like, no, it's not. And I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, never mind. Sorry about that. But I was trying to figure out if it was going to be the Collect D or the log stash that I'm forwarding everything to. So it probably is because it's not TCP and stuff. So, you know. So I am seeing loss there. So you're going to use Collect D. You have to make sure that you use the proper mode and have the proper aggregation and stuff. So it's a learning curve. And that's why I say, you know, if people, I'll send out the email message and stuff, but the URLs are right there too. And add a little bit, one line, doesn't matter, just as long as people start adding to it. And that's actually my talk.
Any questions for Carrie? So if not, I wanted to ask you about the second column. It said dock count, so it's 1.2 billion? Is that what you have at the bottom?
Yeah. Wow. Yes, 1.2 billion, yes. And most of it ends up being, you know, you see the SetC and the Collect D, because there's just so many little data points in both of those. So.
The open DCM visual page get the extra data from each node. Is that to query it with some protocol? This data, where's that? How's that get
to count? Oh, the data from open DCIM. Most of that data, either some of the power data is actually being queried from the Raritans, so the power the PDUs themselves, but it actually has the ability to query the data collect too. So we're in the process of writing the plugin and stuff. There is OpenDCIM doesn't go back far enough, so we can't necessarily. It doesn't understand a panel off of a panel in power, and so we have to basically work with the developers on that. But then at that point, we actually pull that data from the data collect because there's no SNMP query of the panels and stuff. But it's all Python, and we can write our own stuff in order to pull the data. So from the Cray standpoint, from the OpenDCIM, those racks and everything, I'll be actually doing some of the information coming from there so that you could actually see the power and cooling and stuff and do the overlays. So, yes.
Yeah, so to come back to Collect D, so the network plugin is UDP. But of course, as you know, you can use other write plugins, like CERN uses write HTTP. We use another one. So that's just for the comment. And where's LDMS in all that?
Where's
LDMS?
LDMS is out of, Los Alamos. LDMS will run on the, it was written to run with inside the Cray and gather Cray counters and stuff like that. LDMS right now is in a little bit of a flux because Cray moved to what they call CLA6, and LDMS is not supported under that. So it's a change in the compute model that Cray loads on the individual compute nodes. So until they actually get that done, we can't run that. But LDMS doesn't necessarily, is not only for Cray, I should say. It will run under different things, but we just haven't necessarily looked at that.
I'm just curious. I mean, you collect all this data per day, so this is a lot of data along the year. Do you compact the all data or delete all data? You keep everything, or what do you do?
I'm sorry.
I mean, you are keeping all this data for all days, or all data you just get rid, or?
So all the data comes in, we get it on at SSDs. It comes in, we collect on SSDs. We keep about a week to a month on SSDs. But the next day, that index gets snapshotted off, moved to a place, and then put up into HPSS. Okay? So we archive everything, right? Everything goes in there. And then we haven't automated it yet, but we do have a pruning process. So, like, the weather information we may have for 6 months, right? But the collect D information or the SETSI information, because it's so much larger, we may only have for two or three. Online. And that is something else that we found too, is when we moved to five, right, our indexes created in two are not necessarily accessible, but we can reload them. But at this point, we're not sure if we really want to until people actually want the data. But the data is in HPSS and you can still access it. You can install Elastic 2 and be able to bring it in, yes. Or Elastic 5 and do an export-import. And that works too.
Okay, so we are running a little over, so let's move on to the next speaker. Let's thank Carrie once again.